Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
You've all watched an annual Academy Awards program, Best Actor, Best Supporting Actress, Best Screenplay, and of course they have the Lifetime Achievement Awards. Well, in a moment we are going to give such praise to a man who only recently is being discovered as one of the finest artists of the natural world. His name is A.R. Valentine. It's a truly amazing saga of dedication, passion, genius, and bad timing. When we return on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
Life is filled with amazing stories, stories of triumph, tales of defeat, sagas of sadness, memoirs of the mundane. We're about to share an epic tale about an artist who painted plants, his dreams and passions, his genius, and, well, to tell us about this is Margie Dykens, exhibition curator of an exhibition of plant portraits now on display at the San Diego Natural History Museum. Margie, this is a tribute to A.R. Valentine, and although his current show features unquestionably some of the finest botanical illustrations in the world, it is only now that the world is recognizing him for his genius. Let's start out with where this all began back in Cincinnati.
Okay. Well, A.R. Valentine was trained at art school in Cincinnati, Ohio. He was recognized as a talented artist at a young age, and he actually began his art career at the Rookwood Potteries in Cincinnati, which was the premier art pottery of the arts and crafts period. And he worked there for 24 years, actually.
And what era was this? What kind of years are we looking at here?
He was born in 1862. And he started at the Rookwood Pottery, I believe, when he was 19. So he was still, you know, around the 1880s he started there and worked for 24 years. As I said, he was a pottery decorator, and the tradition there at the pottery was to hire people who were trained artists and talented artists. And they featured many natural history subjects in their work on the pottery there.
They certainly did, and we're actually going to be talking about the show that's at the San Diego Natural History Museum, in which case you have actually quite a number of his original paintings, but as well some of the pottery, which now is really quite priceless.
Yes, it is.
So let's continue this story, because it's such an amazing saga of passion and also the natural world. So he happened to meet a young woman who also was an artist, and they worked together at Rookwood. Why don't you continue there and talk about what happened then?
Okay, well, he met his wife-to-be, Anna Bookprinter, who was also a talented artist there at the pottery. They married, and her brother lived in California near San Diego, out in the country near San Diego. And after working at Rookwood, as I said, for over 20 years, they went to visit him and stayed for several months out in the country and just fell in love with the countryside and the beauty of California, the natural beauty of California.
Just like so many of the rest of us who came here, we came, we fell in love, and we stayed.
Right.
Okay.
That's true. And so anyway, according to their writings, they pretty much made up their mind at that point that they really wanted to move permanently to San Diego. After their visit, they did go back to the Cincinnati area and stayed for a few years, but in 1905 they resigned from Rookwood, both of them resigned, and decided to move permanently to San Diego, and they came here in 1908. And at that time, Miss Ellen Browning Scripps, whom many people are familiar with as a very active philanthropist in this area of San Diego, linked up with Mr. Valentine. And she had seen examples of his work, was very impressed with his talent, and she commissioned him to do a monumental project, which was to be the paintings of all the plants, the wildflowers, quote unquote, of California. Now, I don't think either Valentin or Miss Scripps had any idea how monumental a task that was. Neither one of them were trained as botanists, so they didn't realize the incredible biodiversity of plants we have in California. And we're talking about the whole state now, from the Mexican border all the way up to Oregon, so and all the habitats that are represented therein. So it was really a huge task for any one artist to tackle.
Well, he took this challenge very seriously, and obviously he was phenomenally impassioned either by the process or the connection with the earth, or actually some of that is not known to us as to really the nature of his passion. But he then spent 10 years traveling around California with the support of Miss Scripps.
Right.
And from what I understand, it wasn't exactly a lucrative way of life at the during that period of time. He had to kind of scramble for survival, but this is what artists do.
That's right.
So he kind of traveled around and stayed in, as you say, friends of friends' homes. So after 10 years, now of course the objective of this was ultimately part of his inspiration may have come from the fact that the plan was that when this phenomenal collection, and by the way, there's now 1,500 species that were beautifully illustrated,
right,
in over 1,000, well, it's actually gouache, which is a form of watercolor paintings. That's a monumental amount of work.
Yes, it is.
And also, part of the reason that we're featuring this is the fact that for people who are not familiar with his work, and that's almost everybody in the world, you will find that his work is some of the finest botanical illustrations anywhere. The idea was that he was going to be able to have these turned into a book.
Right, or several volumes. Actually, it would take several volumes to publish all of them, but his hope was that certainly at least a good portion of them would be published, and that then his name would be known as, you know, just an absolutely outstanding botanical illustrator. And that, unfortunately, did not come to pass. When he finished the project in 1918, he, as well as Miss Scripps, did work for several years trying to figure out ways to publish the paintings. And unfortunately, at that time of her life, Miss Scripps, really the only time, as far as I'm aware, she was in debt. And so times were tight, and the publication of many, many color prints, of course, is very expensive. So it just never happened. Probably through a combination of circumstances, but he was very disappointed about that.
Well, so about 1918, he actually turned over the many, many folios.
Right.
And why don't you describe those, because that's such a romantic vision for artists and people like ourselves.
Well, he, as you said, he illustrated over 1,500 species altogether. These were done on sheets of gray, pale gray paper. They were mounted onto he mounted them onto a linen backing. And then those linen sheets that held the paintings were bound into large leather folios, and Miss Scripps kept those folio books in her library in her La Jolla home, and there were 22 volumes altogether. So it's really a huge body of work. You have to actually see the stacks and stacks of paintings before you realize the quantity of work that he did.
And then, unfortunately, within about 7 years after he finished this body of work, somewhere in he was in his 60s about that time,
right,
he died suddenly of a massive heart attack.
That's right.
Unexpectedly. So then she carried these in her home, but unfortunately, she passed away in 1932.
That's right.
And then what happened?
Well, as part of her will, settlement of after her death in 1933, the entire collection of paintings, all 1,094 sheets that were bound in these folios, came to the Natural History Museum here in Balboa Park. And they were stored away in the research library. We had, over the years, and this is, you know, 70 years ago, they...
I think 1933, I think.
Right,
I think, yeah.
Right. So for all those years, basically, they were cared for. They were stored away. They were kept out of the light. They were kept out of the dust. And a very few privileged people got to see them, but basically the world did not know about them, unfortunately, all that time.
It's really quite an extraordinary collection of miraculous work. So over 70 years, these these flowers were safe in the confines of the library at the museum.
That's right.
And then actually, I think part of this relates to you, Margie, because as it turns out, you happen to are a very serious botanical illustrator as well.
That's right, and I came to the Natural History Museum 7 years ago here in San Diego. My background, I have a master's in biology with a specialty in botany specifically, and I also have a library degree, and I was looking forward to working at the Natural History Museum just because I'm very interested in plants and animals of the local area, and thought it would be a real great opportunity to work in a great library, never dreaming that this art collection was also here. So when I discovered this beautiful art collection and realized that very, very few people had the opportunity to see it, it really became my goal to make sure that those paintings somehow got out to the public. And I especially appreciated his talents because I've also worked as a botanical illustrator and know how difficult it is to not only to do something of the quality that he did, but to maintain that quality over a long-term project like that is very difficult.
As a matter of fact, you were a botanical illustrator at Harvard University.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So obviously your talents are extremely well developed. So you, like I also love to draw plants and paint. When I saw these a number of years ago, I was awestruck by the level. I've never seen anything in terms of plant illustrations like this, and I think we've agreed that seems to be the case.
Yes, I think they're just absolutely exquisite. They are certainly very accurate renditions of the plants, but much more so than that, they really look just as lively today as if you were, you know, looking at the plant right there in front of you. He really was very, very adept at capturing the organic nature of the plant and really making the viewer feel like he was looking at a living plant rather than something just pressed on the page.
As an artist, I have no understanding how he was able to do that, because it isn't as if he photographed and projected and drew something. That's not how this works. He got to know each one of these plants in a way that I think both of us stand in wonder how he did that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. See, by the way, this might be a good time for people to learn where they can go to see some of these plants on the website.
Well, I understand you have a link up on your website, and our museum website is www.sdnhm.org, and there is a section of the website devoted to this whole exhibit, the plant portraits exhibit, and it's a beautiful website. People can go there and see samples of some of the paintings. They can read about the history of the artist, a little bit about my background, and then we also have links for some of the products that we've developed from the paintings, which include a book that's for sale that has 325 of the color plates from the collection, so people who come to the exhibit can see a lot more paintings if they can purchase the book as well. And we also have note cards that we've developed with some of the images. The images themselves are just so beautiful that they really inspire you to want to develop more things for people to purchase.
I certainly encourage people to take a look at those, because also the sale and portion of the sale of these products and things help to support the collection. But let's talk now about how the show came together, because I think that's such an interesting luck and good fortune suddenly happened. Dreams
right.
do come true.
That's right. It's just a very serendipitous occasion. Late in 1999, I, as part of my duties and responsibilities here at the museum, conducted a tour of the library area for a new crop of docents that we have coming into the museum every year. That's part of what I do. And I also usually like to show them some of the treasures of the library, just sort of as a treat for them. And I did bring out some of the Valentine paintings and spoke to them at that time about how frustrating it was that we owned this remarkable collection of artworks and had thus far been unable to share that with the public. And I mentioned that we tried to work over the years on various grants and to get monies from other foundations and had been turned down. So afterwards, one of those new docents, whose name was Eleanor Navarra, came up and asked me, well, what would it take to do the things you want to do with these paintings? And we started a conversation, And lo and behold, a few days later, her husband, Jerry, came in and looked at the pictures. And this is Jerry of Jerome's Furniture here in San Diego. And they just were so enthusiastic about the opportunity to share these beautiful artworks with the public. So they pretty much just signed right on to the project, and I outlined everything I had in mind for them, you know, what we wanted to do, and we just went for it.
Well, thank God for that, because now all of a sudden the genius of A.R. Valentin is available, and his life and passion can now be celebrated through this show. So we have about a minute left. Let's talk about the show, and then also, where's it going to go after that?
Okay, well, when people come to the show, what we have on view are 80 of the cream of the creme de la creme of the paintings. Some of them are from this area, some of them from Northern California, Central California. We try to cover a lot of different areas and habitats. They're exquisite paintings, not only of wildflowers, but of grasses, trees, ferns, pretty much everything he encountered. And that's on view here at the San Diego Natural History Museum until September 7th, so it's only one more month here, and then it will begin to tour next year throughout California, and after that, other parts of the country as well.
Yes, indeed, and by the way, I encourage everybody to pay attention to this, because we've all looked at plant illustrations, and these stand head and shoulders above almost everything else I know that I've ever seen, from both the perspective of their illustrative work, but as well their artistic work. Margie, thanks so much for being with us on the show.
Thank you.
And good success in your work. When we return, we visit another artist who painted visions with words that have changed the world forever. It's the 150th anniversary of Walden. When we return here on the Wild Side News, the worldwide leader in Internet talk.